Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cryptic Cocktail Party, a show where we have a few drinks, share a few laughs, take a dive into the unknown. I'm your host Dave, and today I'm joined once again for part two of Pascagoula Alien Abduction, Nicholas Einsman. How's it going, champion?
The sun sets, the sun rises here in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Well, it's going pretty good, Dave. I can't complain.
Yeah, I know you went to the Atlantic City Beer and Music Festival this weekend. How was it? Was it good? Was it fine? Was it all right?
It was pretty good. My buddy Adam was supposed to come there originally, and then legitimately got the neurovirus and called me at 6 o'clock in the morning that he couldn't come. So I needed to find someone quick, and I ended up taking my 60-plus-year-old uncle.
Hell yeah!
To go drink beer and listen to ska music, and he had a field day. If you ever want to see a wholesome moment, just bring a 65-year-old man to go see Goldfinger, who's never listened to ska a day before his life. That's that valid. Man had more fun in 4 hours than he did.
I do have a quick question,
65
though.
Years of life.
One question.
Oh, absolutely.
What is the norovirus?
Neurovirus? Oh, man. Neurovirus is no joke.
What is it?
It's when you poop and vomit. It's like you have diarrhea and vomit for a solid 24 hours.
Oh, that sounds fucking awful.
I had it on legitimately last Monday.
I would not wish that on anyone. That sounds terrible.
It was the worst thing in the world. I thought it was food poisoning. It was not.
Oh, God.
It was not.
Well, at least you didn't get it and you were able to go. It sounds like a good time. Beer fests are always fun. I've only been to one legitimate beer fest, and it was when we first moved to Philly, Elkins Park area. Me and Allie went to Pennhurst Asylum. They did a beer fest thing around Halloween.
Oh, that's a good place to have a beer fest.
It was pretty cool. We got to get drunk and then walk through the asylum and stuff like that. It was pretty fun, but that's the only one I've ever been to.
You know what?
To.
Beer fests are a good times. I don't know if I'd ever really go back to the AC one just because there's no hotel that's super close. If I'm going to do it, I'd probably just do the daytime one and then just take the train back to Philly.
Gotcha. Oh, well, is that the convention? There's no hotels around the convention center. I don't know anything about Atlantic City, so I have no idea.
They're close, but they're not close enough to walk without being sketchy.
That makes sense. That kind of sounds like when we were young, and it was at the Las Vegas fairgrounds, and you have to take the tram to get there. If you could get a hotel that's close to it, but you're paying $1 billion for those hotels.
Yeah, you're paying out the nose.
Yeah, we stayed at some fucking shaped like a castle. It's called Excalibur, I think. It was a gross, gross casino. It was not okay.
Did you win any money?
Oh, I didn't gamble. No, I did enough degenerate things in Vegas where I was like, that's the least of my. I mean, you can get blackout drunk on the streets there. I'm not going to waste my money because we're going to need it for bail probably. But anyways, Nick, I'm glad you had a good time. I'm glad your 65-year-old uncle had a good time. You ready to talk about some aliens?
I was born ready.
I guess that's valid. If anyone,
talk about some aliens.
If anyone was, it would be you. I think that's a fair assumption.
To be fair, I am currently rereading this.
What is that?
The UFO Abductions by Brad Stitcher.
Okay.
Or Stiacher.
Steiger?
It's pretty good. Yeah, Steiger.
Okay.
Pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. A lot of outdated information, but it's good.
All right. So, Nicholas and listeners. So, last we left off, Charlie and Calvin were dumped back ashore after being experimented on by these cone-headed metal men, and they're just absolutely terrified. Calvin, as you remember, was more so than Charlie. Charlie kind of came out of it a little bit quicker than Calvin. Calvin, who was just a pile, just useless at this point, just quivering and crying. Like I mentioned last episode, Charlie had to give Calvin a few good smacks to the face. And as Calvin came to, he asked Charlie, "What in the world was that?" To which Charlie replied, "Son, I don't know, but they didn't kill us." Is that bringing back memories for you, for where we are?
Oh, it's still bringing back memories of the creepy work friend dad relationship that they had going on.
Oh, you mean the man and his young, the old man and his young male companion?
Yeah. The definitely not a groomer/groomy, considering they've known him for years.
Yeah.
Friend of the family.
Yeah, because that's not how grooming works. Anyways, now, Charlie, even though his mind is a bit disheveled at the moment, knew that what happened to him and Calvin would be hard for people to wrap their heads around and believe. So they pretty much had two options at this point. Go to the authorities, tell their story, and possibly be ridiculed for life, or keep their mouths shut and just deal with the trauma and secrecy. So for the next 45 minutes, the two men sat in Charlie's car while they collected themselves and quietly pondered what to do next. Now, initially, Charlie told Calvin, "We can't tell anyone. No one is going to believe us, and we're just going to be the laughingstock of the town." But after some deliberation and more time to kind of really think about it after things settled down, the two decided that the potential threat that these otherworldly creatures posed to the public was far worse than people making jokes about them getting probed in the ass or whatever. So after a couple of shots of whiskey that I assume Charlie just kept in his car, they decided to contact the authorities. First, Charles decided to ring up Keesler Air Force Base, which is about, it's about a half hour drive from Pascagoula. To inform them of the goings-on that night. But this is 4 years after Project Blue Book had ended. So the Air Force Base was like, "Nah, we don't do that shit anymore. You got to go to the cops," which is the last thing they wanted to do because, one, it's a small town. Rumors are going to spread very quickly. Two, because they knew that a small-town Mississippi sheriff would be all like, "Y'all crazy." And a possible third reason is because they were just doing shots of whiskey in Charles' car, and I'm sure showing up to the sheriff's office hollering about aliens while smelling like a distillery probably won't help your case.
Probably not the best thing. But you know what, like, the thing that really makes me laugh here is, like, if the Air Force tells you, "Yeah, you know what, we really don't do that thing anymore," just fucking let it die.
Yeah, that's valid.
Just let it die. If your government's like, "You know what, we really don't investigate this type of thing anymore. Like, it's not our bag, man." There's good reason. They sent those fuckers.
Okay. Are you saying that the Air Force Base sent the aliens to go get these two?
I said what I said.
Okay, valid. So Charlie, and I don't know why this was like his contingency plan, but trying to avoid anything to do with getting the cops involved, he decided, "Let's just go straight to the press." Now, I guess he was thinking that word was going to get out anyway, so he might as well get in front of the story or something. But whatever his reasoning, it didn't fucking matter because the local paper's office was closed for the evening, so that didn't work. So now, with no other options, they drove out to the Jackson County Sheriff's Office. Now, when the men arrived at the sheriff's office, they were still very much distraught about their ordeal and visibly tired because at this point, I believe it was like 2 hours since they were released by the aliens. So they're tired and they were interviewed by Sheriff Fred Diamond and Captain Glenn Ryder. Now, to Charles' credit, he did immediately tell the cops that while he was in fact sober during the time the abduction took place, he did take some shots of whiskey immediately following it. So good on him. But either way, drunk or sober, it didn't matter. While Sheriff Diamond did say that the men, especially Calvin, who was, I'm assuming, still just sobbing at this point, seemed genuinely frightened about what had happened. Both him and the captain had serious doubts over the validity of the men's story, which, I mean, I guess...
It's fair enough. It's fair enough.
So the sheriff and captain devised a little plan. See, they hid a tape recorder in the interrogation room in hopes that when the men were alone, they would out themselves as, like, hoaxers. But when they listened to the playback of the tape, the men, Charles and Calvin, seemed even more like disturbed and upset about what had happened to them when they were talking alone than when they were talking to the cops. Because I'm assuming they're trying to keep it together while talking to the cops. So the two lawmen decided that they would keep this all under wraps and assured the men that they would keep it kind of hush-hush. Now, after the interrogation, the two men went home, got as little sleep as anyone could get after something like this, and they somehow still managed to just go to work the next day like nothing had ever happened. The men kept quiet about their encounter, acting as normal as one could while sleep deprived, and I'm sure just like their brains just chock full of PTSD at this point. But coworkers did note that they seemed a little more anxious than normal.
So, I mean, first off, my kudos for them to going directly after.
Right.
Directly after. I mean, listen, I don't even know if I ever get abducted by aliens, right? The last thing I'm going to do when I get back is going to be go to directly to my local authorities. I'm probably going to sit on it. I mean, again, this is all hypothetical because I've never been abducted by aliens, so I have no idea. but like the fact that they were like, "You know what? We have no other options. We got to go." Mm-hmm. And the fact that we said Calvin was the one that's like, you know, I was bone sober when this happened, but as soon as I got back, I gotta be honest with your partner, I had a few shots of the old Jim Beam.
That was Charles.
Good on them.
Yeah.
Charles, yeah. Good on them. And then, yeah, of course they're gonna be distraught after work. Like,
yeah.
They just got fucking, you know, abducted by the symbiotes from Hellraiser. Like, who wouldn't be, you know, scared by that?
Yeah, they're not good looking aliens.
No, they're not good looking aliens. I've looked at the design, if you will, a little bit more.
Yeah.
And they are terrifying. I don't like them.
No, it's not an ideal scenario. Oh,
one thing I did think about this entire week while, you know, kind of going over, like, you know, their initial, the abduction. Right? Yeah. As you know, that song, My Sharona.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So it's that, but it's Pescagola. He's a little horny one. A little horny one. He's a little horny one. Pescagola.
That's pretty good. I don't hate
and
it.
I've been humming that to myself for the past week.
Oh.
Like I was sitting at work and I was like, nah, 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 nah.
What sucks now is that I'm going to be doing that probably for the rest of the day and for the rest of the week. So thank you for that. And hopefully,
you're so welcome.
Hopefully our listeners will do the same exact thing.
And if you would like, I will record that. In my Sharona style, for your ringtones, for the Patreon members of Cryptic Cocktail Party, you'll get an exclusive ringtone that says My Pescagola.
That would actually be pretty fucking solid. Now, just a couple of hours after clocking in, Sheriff Diamond called the men at work to give them the news that, hey, just a heads up, your story got out, and now there's a bunch of reporters trying to get details about your abduction, so just keep an eye out for that. No. Now, Charles didn't take that news so well. He was pretty pissed, to say the least. He cursed out the sheriff for breaking his promise that he would keep the story a secret, but the sheriff assured him that he didn't betray them and that the story was just, like, too wild to keep under wraps and that people were going to find out no matter what, which makes sense. I'm sure someone in the police department saw that and was like, yo, everyone's got to hear about this shit.
Yeah. I mean, like, I wish that I could be that friend that, like, someone come to like, yo, I got abducted by aliens. Please don't let this out.
I would tell fucking everybody.
I would try really hard to not do that. Right. Would like not, you know, break my promise and be like honest about everything and be like, yep, like you're good. Don't worry about it. And then as soon as I get like one or two beers into me, again, another reason why I don't drink. It's like I talked to like someone like you or like our good friend of the show, Mike Norton and Luke. Start talking about aliens. Yo, did you hear about Dave Prescott?
Dude.
Got abducted by the fucking Hellraiser alien. They played My Sharona as it happens.
I'm not even going to pretend like I would keep it a secret. They'd be like, hey, can I tell you something? Like, I'd be like, nope, I'm telling fucking everyone. Do not entrust me with that scenario. Like, if it was a normal secret,
trust me,
fine. If it was a normal secret, fine. Like, if it was like, hey, I kissed my cousin once or, you know, something like whatever. You tell me you got abducted by aliens? Everyone's finding out. I'm not keeping that shit secret. So, Nick, if you ever get abducted by aliens, I'm sorry.
If I ever get abducted by aliens, I think there'd be signs.
What? <Ba-dum-ts>. Yeah. Now, even though there was a huge local media storm, Charlie and Calvin did their best to avoid any sort of publicity surrounding their case. But it wasn't long before the news made its way to the wire services and became a very major news story. And not just in the U.S., but worldwide. So within a matter of days, Pascagoula and the surrounding areas became a whirlwind of activity. Newsmen, ufologists, astronomers, and just like people like you and me who just want to check out where a man and his young male companion got abducted. Like, they all just flooded in. One of those people was a man named Joe Azaris, who was there as a field reporter working for Rolling Stone at the time, but you may know him as the man who wrote the screenplays for Basic Instinct and Showgirls. That face.
I vaguely know of the cinematic masterpiece as Basic Instincts. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you what it's about or the plot or who's in it, but I definitely know of it. The movie, the title Showgirls is something
Showgirls
that I'm neither curious nor.
Showgirls is a movie that features one of the girls, I believe, from Saved by the Bell. I can't remember which one.
Melissa Milano?
That what?
Something Alana, right?
That's not Saved by the Bell. But anyways.
You sure about that?
100% sure. But anyways, it's a movie where she's a, I think she was like a Vegas showgirl, but there's a lot of tits in it. I think they were strippers. I really don't remember it. It came out in the early 90s, so I'm not 100% sure. Well, anyways, through his investigative journalism, quote unquote, he decided that the whole thing was a hoax. And the simple reason behind that was because the toll booth operators on the bridge that ran over the river didn't see anything that night. But just because they didn't see anything doesn't mean that there weren't any other witnesses besides the two men. Now, a retired naval officer named Mike Cataldo came forward in 2001 claiming he had observed the UFO in question the same night. And he saw it not just once, but twice. A former Pascagoula detective named Puddin Brodus, as Puddin, P-U-D-D-I-N apostrophe.
No way.
It's not his real name. I don't know what his real first name is, but they keep calling him Puddin with like quotation marks around it. It's like a nickname. But
I want to know, sorry, can we just dive into that for a second? Like,
what do you
think about this?
He was a good looking dude too. They showed a picture of him. He's a handsome boy.
They showed a picture of Puddin.
I get why they call him Puddin. That's all I got to say. I'll find it after this and I'll send it to you. He's a handsome dude.
Okay, so he's not like a chunky man. Oh, he's a handsome guy.
Yeah. They don't call him Puddin because of like any physical thing. It's just cause it's like a Southern thing. Like, hey, Puddin, like, I bet all the ladies called him that.
Yeah, but what if it's like his superiors call him that? Like Frank calls him in the office, Puddin, I'm real sorry.
He's like,
I know you just had your fourth kid. We got to let you go.
Puddin, I want your badge
You're
and your gun on my
all
desk
the
now.
Secretaries. Yeah, exactly. I need your badge and your car. You can keep the gun as a souvenir.
That's your severance.
Jesus.
Now, good old Puddin, he claimed to have seen an object streak across the night sky that night, as well as multiple other witnesses who at the time thought nothing of what they saw until learning about the abduction, but didn't come forward until years later due to their fear of ridicule. So, fuck you, Joe. There were other fucking people who saw this shit. But Joe wasn't the only person on the scene doing a little investigating. Representing the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, better known as APRO, we got UC Berkeley engineering professor James A. Harder, and representing the Air Force, we got fame skeptic turned hard believer, Mr. Project Blue Book himself, Dr. J. Allen Hynek. The two actually joined forces on this and tag-teamed their investigations, interviewing both abductees together. Harder actually tried regressive hypnosis on Calvin to try and get some more detailed information, but Calvin became so terrified and distraught while under hypnosis that they had to stop midway through and pull him out. They did eventually try again a few years later, and Calvin was actually able to remember some things that make this whole case even more fucked up, and this is what he claims he remembered. Quote,
oh no.
There were people on the spaceship, living beings in another compartment. They never came in there where we were, and I'm telling you, they looked almost like us. Only thing I can figure is that they couldn't live in our atmosphere, so they let the robots come out there and carry us inside. Excuse me? Pardon? So the robots were just robots being controlled by another fucking alien race?
I mean, that's not like...
I don't like that.
It's not uncommon. There's a whole theory, right? And I'm paraphrasing here, that the tall grays actually send the little grays out as like...
Wait, hold on. There are tall grays?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a whole thing, buddy boy. It's not just the grays.
Well, I know there's the grays, but I knew there was the tall whites, like the Nordic.
Yeah.
Or the Palladian or whatever the fuck you want to call them. Unless the Palladian is something different. I have no fucking idea.
No. So have you ever seen a Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind?
Of the fifth kind?
Third kind, sorry.
Yes.
The one with Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, the Steven Spielberg one, where Dr. J. Allen Hynek was a... consultant on that film. Yes. I learned while doing research. Yes. On this.
So now I might be, if all right, bear with me here, but I'm fairly certain that the Zeta Reculians, quote unquote, are the taller of the gray ones, and they're the ones that kind of send out the, you know, the little short little green men type beings.
Gotcha.
If you will. Travis Walton from the guy Fire in the Sky actually kind of said the same thing. There was like the Nordics that were on the ship, and there was taller grays, then there was like shorter grays. There's a whole subclass of grays. So it's not uncommon that they send out little rabble, well, in this case, metal.
So him seeing like a race of aliens that kind of look human and sending out like a like an automaton to like capture people isn't like unheard of.
No.
But I'm just saying this makes it more fucked up because I thought that the fucking robots were the aliens, but they aren't. They're just they're being controlled by an actual race of aliens. Now, I didn't look any further into this quote, so I don't know. Like, I didn't read his book, so I don't know what else he describes them as, or if this was just like a fleeting memory, so he probably couldn't even really describe them. But I think that the fact that there was another race of aliens on the ship makes it way more fucking terrifying than just the robots alone.
Oh yeah. Well, if you have some free time, look into interviews with Travis Walton, the Fire in the Sky guy.
Yeah.
Cause he says a lot of the same shit where there's like other humans, and I say this with quotations.
Well, that's the
same thing.
When you said there was people on the ship, it was very like air quoted very hard when you see, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyways, these two men, they were also subject to multiple polygraph tests over the years and passed them all with flying colors. These results, along with the quote-unquote secret tape recordings, the hypnosis, and the fact that the men's story never changed, was enough to convince Harder and Hynek that the men were telling the absolute truth. Hynek said regarding the men's case, quote, "There was definitely something here that was not terrestrial. This was the first time I had seen for myself the profoundly disturbing effect of a UFO encounter on two ordinary human beings. It was impossible to be with Charlie and Calvin or to listen to the tape and not believe that something terrifying had happened to them," end quote. Now, over the next few months, a slew of articles, books, comics, they were all released, all telling or claiming to tell the story of the two men and their encounter. And all the publicity started to affect the men, so they decided the best thing to do was move. So they packed up their stuff and their families and headed to Jones County, Mississippi. Unfortunately for Calvin, though, that wasn't enough, and he was eventually hospitalized due to a mental breakdown. Now, over the years since the incident, Calvin has actively avoided being in the public eye as much as he can. Charles, on the other hand, the older of the two gentlemen, he decided to just kind of embrace it and really lean into it. He went on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, The Dick Cavett Show.
Wow.
He also went on this game show called to Tell the Truth, which is like you get three contestants. All of them are telling like basically different versions of the same story, and the contestants have to pick out which one is telling the truth. Kind of fucking wild, but he also went on to self-publish a book in 1983 called The UFO Contact at Pascagoula, as well as speaking at like different UFO lectures and events. And then Calvin, after years of staying out of the limelight, eventually did tell his side of the story. In 2018, he published a book called Pascagoula, The Closest Encounter, My Story, which is the first full account of the event given by Calvin Parker and the effects that it had on him and his own life. Then in 2019, the city of Pascagoula unveiled a historical landmarker on the site of the abduction. Calvin attended the unveiling.
No way, really?
Yeah. Calvin attended the unveiling. Sadly, Charles had passed away in 2011 due to a heart attack, but his son and family attended the ceremony in honor of their late father. Parker had this to say about the ceremony and the historical marker being put into place. He said, quote, "It's emotional for me. I can't really describe it because I would break out into tears if I do. I wish that when I die, I could be buried right here underneath this plaque. That would explain it best. It is quite an honor," end quote. Calvin Parker did eventually pass away in August of 2023 due to kidney cancer, but it is safe to say that Calvin and Charles made quite the impact on the world with their experience and the stories that they shared with us about it. But anyways, Nick, there you have it. That is the conclusion to the Pascagoula abduction. How you feeling?
I might buy that book. I'm like looking at it on Amazon right now. This case was a lot more interesting than I originally thought it was going to be.
Which one, the Calvin one or the Charles one?
Pascagoula, The Closest Encounter, My Story. I'm going to look for Charles's book right now, but it's free on Kindle. So I guess I'm buying a Kindle.
I think you can just get the Kindle app, and I think it works the same way, doesn't it? I have no idea.
Well, if that's the case, then I'm just downloading the Kindle app, baby.
But yeah, so what do you think of the story? I mean, part one, part two, kind of mash them together. You heard about the actual abduction. Now you heard about kind of like the aftermath. Now there is a little bit more to all this, obviously, but these are kind of like the bigger, heavier portions of it. Like there was a point where both of them did say at one point that they were visited again, but not by the aliens on the ship, but by the robots. So that's why I always thought the robots were the aliens. They never interacted with them. Charles said he saw his, like, they were standing like in a field or some shit like that. They're just like watching him. I don't remember what Calvin's version of the revisit was, but they never like interacted with them, I guess. It was more right. more like a watching scenario.
I mean, look, it's the part about them getting upset that the cop or the sheriff either broke his word or it somehow got out. I mean, unfortunately, that's just something that like is gonna happen.
Yeah, there's no avoiding
there's no
that.
Way it's yeah. not there's no way around it. You know, it's a small town, like word travels. Yeah. So that much I understand. The fact of, I will say big ups to that sheriff to giving them a call, like, hey, so just so you know, obviously this did break, press is on the way, like.
Yeah, he didn't have to like give him a heads
up.
Yeah,
he didn't have to give him a warning.
Like at absolutely. All.
Absolutely. But I'm glad that, you know, Charles kind of like not owned it, but you know, you see a lot of these guys who get abducted by aliens who like talk about it once and then they never want to talk about it again. Then you have guys like Charles, you have guys like Travis Walton that really own up to it. They're like, I gotta, you know, if not, it's gonna, I'm gonna sleep. Like I'm gonna see these things when I sleep.
Yeah.
So I can either like face it while I'm awake or, you know,
it may. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Like, cause like obviously talking with anything, talking about it makes you feel a million times better. At least helps you process it more, I guess. Maybe that's why Calvin kind of had a hard time with it. He did not want to say, like, I don't even think, if I remember correctly, he didn't tell his wife like the exact details of what happened until like forever later. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
but he did get his story out, which is cool. So, I'll probably end up buying that book too, to be honest. But yeah, no, it was a good story. It's like the dichotomy of how the two processed the abduction is wild. Like Charlie said, Charles fully leaned into it. And like I said in the last episode, like people thought he was like milking it for money, but I guess his son said that he only asked for a day's work worth of wages. So I don't know, but it was a good story. I had fun with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good one. I'm definitely going to try and do some more research on it because now I'm just genuinely more interested in it. Mm. So, Dave, thanks again for having me on for this Pescagola story.
If you can find a karaoke version of that and just sing over the actual tune.
Oh, I will take care of it.
Hell yeah.
Bonus buddy. Content. Sign up to Dave's Patreon. It's what, $5 a month?
I think it's four, maybe five. I fucking don't know anymore.
Sign up to Dave's Patreon. It's $4 a month. Beer is expensive. You will hear a really bad cover of My Spagola or Pescagola.
Spagola?
Come on down. Get a piece of My Spagola.
Oh, God damn it. All right. Well, yeah, but thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it. Do you want to plug? Of course, do you want to plug your stuff before we sign off?
If you want to see terrible memes about watches and time, follow me at neovintage.nick on Instagram. The Dadcast is potentially making a return.
Hell yeah!
Stay tuned on that.
Is that all you got so far? All right.
I really want to bring it back. It just scheduling sucks. Having a co-host is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, that's why I stopped doing that. All right, bud. Let's see. If you want to follow us on Instagram, follow us at CryptoCocktail. Follow me on TikTok at CryptoCocktailParty. As Nick said, if you want to help support the show with the Patreon, it's $5 a month, I think. And it's fine. It's whatever. I don't think I have anything. I have a Discord. Again, no one's in it. It's pointless, but if you want to join a conversation, you can.
I'm in it.
Well, let's, I don't know, say something in it then.
You never post anything in it.
Because no one's there.
You post something, I'll respond.
All right, fine.
I'm there.
All right, do you want to say bye to everyone, Nick?
Goodbye, everyone. I hope you have a fantastic Monday and your week brings you nothing but joy.